Hello again. It's Sunday, June 2nd, and this is episode 12 of the Bobby Bites podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Tonight's episode is recorded on the eve of WWDC. You know, I'm actually excited about this one, everyone. I really think there's going to be some good stuff announced tomorrow, and I'll talk about that a little later in the show. Right now, what I would like to start off with is a few other conferences that I haven't covered yet and haven't really talked much about, and that is the Build Conference for Microsoft this year and Google's I.O. First up, let's talk a little bit about Google I.O. from this year. Interesting. I saw some things I liked. I was hoping for some other things, but you know what we got was interesting enough in itself. I really think that Google's, if you have to look at like an overarching theme, it has to be accessibility. That seemed to be the key driving thing behind everything that they announced this year. There was some interesting things around, you know, Google Maps getting incognito mode, the beta for Android Q, of course, night mode is coming to Android. You know, of course, it appears that night mode is coming to every operating system. You know, it's interesting that suddenly has become a thing. You know, it's like, hey, everybody, let's all do night mode all at one time. You know, that's kind of funny, actually. It seems like a big deal in every camp, but, you know, it's something that, you know, honestly, it's been around for a while. I mean, even if you look back to the original Windows phone, when it launched, it had two modes, you know, which was a dark and light mode, which was really cool back then, too. So, you know, it's a good feature. I'm glad they're bringing it out across the whole OS-a-sphere, so to speak. You know, it's just depending on who implements it and how well it's implemented. It appears that Android's going to do it well. From what I've saw, and I'll talk about this a little later too, iOS is going to have a really cool version of, you know, something similar to night mode. It's already in Windows. It's getting more and more pervasive in Windows, so, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes from here. But moving along from I.O. this year, you know, besides the new features in Q, what I was really interested in was watching the announcement around Google Now and the contextual way that the speech recognition was working and how you could have this, you know, this conversation, it appears like, with Google Now. When you ask it to do something, it kind of remembers the last thing you did, and you can do things in sequence or continue a conversation and have it do other things, which is really interesting. I thought that was one of the best demos on that particular subject I've saw. You know, I haven't really saw anyone that has done it quite that impressively. And even looking at, you know, Siri and the situation that Siri is in now, or the shape Siri is in right now, there's lots of room for improvement there. I get a little frustrated when I'm trying to use Siri and it doesn't understand, you know, some of the simple commands that you can just switch over and use Google Now or even Cortana from Microsoft and use. But like I said, the overarching theme was accessibility. There was some new things announced. There was the next Hub Max was announced, which was the smart display with a camera. I think it's going to be like $229. They also announced that they're kind of moving everything under the Nest name umbrella, which is really cool. I thought, you know, I've always kind of liked the Nest name. I liked it when it was just the thermostat. So I think that's a really, you know, kind of a good branding move for Google. And if you look at where they're promoting a lot of that, they're moving into the, from the retail space, they're moving a lot of that into like the home improvement stores. And I've noticed that a lot of those have, you know, big displays where they're doing Nest, you know, like a little branding area inside the store. So it's really cool. I think that's going to continue to expand. I mean, smart home, Internet of Things, it just has up to go from here. I mean, it's going to just continue to grow. Really good that they're getting on board with that now and innovating in that area. You know, honestly, I don't know that I have a need for the Hub Max, but it looks interesting. I will play with it when I get a chance to, and I'll let you guys know what I think if I get to play with it before a podcast. The other, of course, elephant in the room would be the Pixel 3a and the 3a XL. Really, really interesting devices. You know, going back to the plastic backs, lowering the price down to $399, taking away some of the features, but keep giving you the majority of things that people want. I think these are going to be really good. You know, these really have been good mid-grade phones, or mid-level phones, if you will. And I honestly, I've had a chance to play with one, you know, in my local Best Buy store, and really, I really liked it. I can't really say that there was anything that I didn't like. I do love the stock Android is just, you know, it's just beautiful on these devices. I'm still a little, I know this is being really nitpicky, but I'm still a little, you know, off put by the dual, like the band on the back. Like I said before, when I was talking about the Pixel Slate and the other devices from Google, where they've got this really glossy, shiny strip and then matte finish the rest of the way down. I love simplicity. I just like for it to be one or the other. You know, thinking back, some of my favorite phones have always been very simple designs, clean designs. I really liked some of the Lumia phones that were out from Nokia and Microsoft. Some of those designs with that polycarbonate back, especially the matte ones, were really nice, and this just really, really felt good in the hand. But that's just, you know, that again, subjective, and it's all me, and that's what I like. As far as overall design, I really do like these new Pixels, especially for the price point. And I'm really thinking seriously about picking one up for, you know, to have as an extra phone or a side phone, you know, just to have it so that I'll have an Android device around at all times. Because I do want to play more and more with Android. I've had a few phones, you know, in my career, but I've had tons of Samsung phones and LG phones, but just having a pure Android experience for a while would probably be really nice to have. I do like some of the choices that they're making, especially around the colors. This purplish is pretty cool. I'd love to see them expand that and do a few more colors just to kind of get creative. I want to see some more, you know, creativity around textures and finishes and that sort of thing from the phone space anyway. So, you know, these are just, you know, just they're playing it safe. They're you know, middle of the road budget phones, if you will. And they're playing it safe on these, which is fine. As far as anything else, it's nothing else really standing out. Like I said, accessibility was huge. The Google Now stuff was really good. Listening to it, there was an update on Lens, of course. You know, and then of course all the developer stuff around, you know, Chrome OS and Android, and of course they didn't really show Fuchsia, which I was hoping to see a little bit more from that, but you know, maybe that's for a later date. Moving on, looking at Microsoft's Build conference this year, again, really, I mean, there was a few things there, but nothing really, you know, just really drove me insanely crazy. I really wanted to see some new stuff. Now, I wasn't really expecting hardware. Of course not. I mean, they had just announced the Hub 2s, you know, prior to Build. I wasn't expecting any Surface devices, which would have been fun. I know they're going to do, you know, like a separate event later in the year for Surface, which, you know, that's just it's not a secret. I mean, we know they're going to have something new this year. It's just a matter of time, and I'm really super excited about that. There was some stuff around Terminal, of course, which makes Terminal look nice. The Fluent design, which is kind of going, you know, more pervasively throughout Windows 10, which I think is really nice. Actually, I'm a fan of the Fluent design system, and I think I've said that before. I really like it. I want them to just take it all the way through the operating system. I want to see this. I want to see a more modern, grown-up, you know, I guess I would say, like, texturally active, you know, with a really good physics engine, something that you can tactile, feel, see, move, 3D space, you know, the whole nine yards. I want a modern operating system that is, modern operating system, remember that. I want a modern operating system that has this clean, mature look to it. You know, I'm kind of tired of the cartoony backgrounds. I'm kind of tired of the pastel, you know, Crayola design icons and light colors and, you know, everything that, like, if you look at Android, that's what you get stock, which it's not bad. It's just that I guess I've just kind of grown a little tired of it. I want a little bit of variety there. And I know there's, like I said, for Android, there's lots and lots of themes that you can do, and that's fantastic. But I'm saying for throughout the operating system, just everywhere in the operating system that you look, I would love to see a modern, clean design, something that's just refreshing and new and mature, you know, grown up. I just, you know, it's just like I said, again, subjective, very personal preference, but it looks like Fluent Design could be going that way, and I like it. I really do. And speaking of that, I'm just going to kind of go past build, because this week there was I don't even know if you call it a blog post or just an announcement or this thing, blurb, that came out that Microsoft was working on something called the Modern OS. And from the description and from what it sounded exactly like they were talking about this rumored Windows Lite. Or, you know, it sounded a lot like they were comparing it similar to something like Chrome OS or iOS for iPhones. You know, it's really interesting that Microsoft is going to say take it in this direction. And like I said, I think on the last podcast, I don't consider a clean, legacy-free operating system to be a light version of Windows. I consider it to be, in my opinion, a modern version of Windows, or a more advanced version of Windows, something that lets go of the past and kind of focuses on what's new and what's possible and what we can do now with an operating system, you know, optimized for ARM, optimized for battery life, you know, optimized for quick starting, you know, productivity, getting things done quickly. You know, that's kind of the gist of why I still have a Chromebook sitting here, because I call it my get things done machine, because I can just open it up and just go straight into something and just get it done quickly. Whether or not it's has all the full of professional capabilities of what I need or not is not the point. It's the quick and dirty get things done kind of mentality. That's what the Chromebooks are for. Now, if Microsoft can do something in that vein, but make it ultra modern, clean, lightweight, fast operating system, but then give you the power to be in depth with Word and Excel and PowerPoint and all of the really high-end things as well, that takes it to the next level. That takes it to beyond the just get things done machine to the crap, this is a completely productivity-based machine with a modern, clean operating system that's fast, you know, and has an always online, you know, type of functionality where, and then of course you've got, you know, modern processors and modern graphics. I don't want to be, you know, lacking in any area, and that's why I don't want them to call it Windows Lite. I really hope they call it something else, you know. And I think they're alluding to that when they were talking about the modern OS. So, you know, that's kind of moving past build, and that's moving, you know, beyond, you know, that area. And then again, it's also going into what I'm hoping for and expecting around the next, you know, Surface devices. And again, I'm always torn so badly between sticking with what is tried and true and what I use and moving on into and just getting, you know, a Surface for full-time use, because as much as I really like the Surface, every single time I do a side-by-side comparison, and I tend to compare them to things that I use a lot, and I use iOS a lot, because, I mean, if you guys know me, if you've listened to me, you know that I've always been an Apple fan, long, long before the current crop of you know, Johnny-come-lately Apple people. I have been around since the beginning. You know, I'm not a spring chicken, so I have been there through it all. I was there when Apple was not popular, and I was a diehard defendant of the system. So, you know, with that being said, and now that I'm again, and I'll say this like I've said a few times, I'm a little bit more platform agnostic these days. I try to just use what works and what works well for me at the time, And I've also tried to use a blended system where I'm using my MacBook on one side, I have a Chromebook on the other. I use it for different purposes. I use my iOS devices. But I'm still looking for that. I guess I'm looking for that dream device, you know, that journal that I can just take with me and quickly pull out and get things done. You know, that's why I've been a proponent of the folding screens. That's why I've been hoping that someone would do a folding screen with pen functionality, something that works. Again, it's really disappointing to hear about the troubles that Samsung's having with their Fold phone, or their Galaxy Fold. I'm sure that, you know, there are ways to rectify what the issues that they've had with it, and it, you know, like I said, it may not be ready for prime time, and I would still like to see something, you know, in that regard from Microsoft. I honestly think that they could knock one out of the park with a really cool folding screen surface device. And it doesn't have to be a continuous folding screen. It could be the dual screen, you know, thing that we saw mocked up all over the internet, you know, around the Andromeda device or what was the Centaurus code name that they had that could have been a bigger device similar. It could be slightly bigger. It could have two screens that were, you know, really butted up against each other and very barely showed any space between them. And once you fold it flat, and like I've mentioned a few times, as long as when it folds flat, it's sturdy and firm and you can actually use it as a tablet, you know, and draw on it and put pressure on the screen without it, you know, popping out of place and causing issues with your drawing or writing or whatever you're doing. You know, that's a big thing for me. So, you know, that being said, I really, really, really think that Microsoft has some good stuff up their sleeve this year. I'm 100% excited about seeing whatever it is that they're working on. I'm really, again, like I said, I've mentioned this a few times, every time I compare a Surface to an iPad, it's one or the other wins for whatever various reason, whatever task I'm working on. I'll find that the iPad does this better, or then I'll find that the Surface does that better. And, you know, I really would like to find something that's, you know, that fits all the check boxes. You know, I would love to see an ARM-based Surface with a really modern graphic interface that was super fast. I mean, in other words, instant on like the iPad, but has the fast pressure sensitivity that you would need for that you get from the Apple Pencil. I like Microsoft's solution. You know, the technology from Intrigue is pretty good, but there's just something about the Apple Pencil that is just so fantastic. It works so well. And, you know, you tie an iPad with this app called Procreate. And if you haven't ever tried Procreate, I urge you, if you have an iPad Pro and you use the Pencil, download the app called Procreate and give it a shot. It is one of the best sketching art painting apps that I've used. There are a ton out there. I mean, you know, there are a lot of standbys that we all use. I think Sketchbook Pro is a good one. Art Rage is still around. There's quite a few that you know, I just can't name all of them off the top of my head that I've used, but they are the one that I really kind of fall back on all the time is Procreate. And every single time I sit down and I start comparing, you know, like a Surface to an iPad, and then I start kind of flailing back and forth about what I actually do with the device, it tends to fall towards sketching and art and taking notes. And every time it just seems like I fall back to the iPad. So, you know, surprise me, Microsoft. I mean, really, guys, bring out something cool. I want to see it. I want to have a choice. I want to be able to say, I'm picking this or I'm picking that, and definitively this one is better. You know, and I haven't been able to do that. Each one has its pros and cons. You know, it's just like the reason I still have a Chromebook sitting here. It just has these little things about it that are special and that I still use it for. So, again, Microsoft. Build was interesting, but now it's time to have a hardware event, and I'm looking forward to it. So let's get this done. I want to see something new around Surface, something cool. you know, even a thinner surface, a lighter, less bezels around the surface to go. Something cool, Microsoft, please. I know you can do it. I know there's probably prototypes, you know, floating all over the campus in Redmond. So, you know, pick your favorite and let's bring something to market, guys. That's it for that one. Let's move on to, it is, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, WWDC Eve. And I want to spend some time talking about WWDC, tomorrow's keynote. So, tomorrow, 10 a.m. Pacific time, June 3rd, Mr. Tim Cook is going to get on stage and he's going to welcome everyone to WWDC 2019. And I am truly excited about this one. I have been thinking about this and reading, you know, what everyone else is thinking across the internet, and I wanted to kind of chime in with my thoughts tonight before the event, and of course I will follow up with a podcast later in the week about my thoughts for the, you know, what is actually announced. You know, we're expecting iOS 13, we're expecting macOS 10.15. I don't know how many numbers they're going to go past 10 before they find 11, but watchOS 6, tvOS 13, I believe. You know, this is all the expectations as far as what we're going to hear about software. The announcements, you know, everyone's been trying to read the tea leaves in the actual announcements themselves, the graphics that they used and they sent out. Everyone's trying to kind of extrapolate what might be there. You know, of course, we're expecting dark mode in iOS 13, which I think, you know, everyone's working on a dark mode. And I think that from what I've saw online and from what people have kind of alluded to and leaked, you know, the dark mode in iOS 13 might be the de facto standard for dark mode, which, you know, it's funny we're talking about that. You know, light mode, dark mode, that's been around for a while. But it went away for a bit, and now it's coming back, you know, in the form of, you know, the versions for iOS. And, of course, it was in High Sierra, something like that as well. There was a dark mode. And, you know, I love the interactive desktop that goes, you know, that goes dark at night and all that. But to me, I've always been a big fan of animated wallpapers anyway. I'd like to see them move a little bit, whether, you know, the time of day's changed or not. So, you know, that's not something that I've kept myself away from. I do like to tinker with the background and the, you know, and the themes if possible when I can. You know, if the operating system allows it, like it does in Android. But, you know, I do get caught up in that sometimes, but I don't get so caught up in it that it's my end all be all. I do like for the operating system to be a little bit functional as well. Ha ha. OS 10.15. Honestly, I think that the biggest thing that everyone's expecting is more integration with iOS apps. So, the Marzipan thing that they've called it that they're working on, I'm sure that's going to show itself more and more. We've also heard that, of course, there's going to be a way to share screens from iPad to a Mac laptop or desktop to share, you know, share your screen with your iPad, which you can do now with third-party utilities, but it's supposed to be built in. Some enhancements to the watchOS, of course, new features. Interesting. I want to see what those features are. I currently do not have an Apple Watch. Now, my lovely wife does, and she loves her Apple Watch. I have, you know, off and on been tempted, but I just haven't bit the bullet and bought one, but I eventually will. I've been waiting for a slightly larger version because I am a rather large fellow and I like to have a big watch. I mean, I'm just accustomed to a much larger watch, whether it's heavy or not. I like a big watch. So the current generation is just a little, still to me, this is my personal preference. I know everyone on the planet's going to argue with me about this, but to me, it's just a little bit small. I'd like to have a slightly bigger screen. And there's also a couple of other features I'd like to have in it. But that's for a different show. the other things that could possibly show up, the long talked about and rumored Mac Pro that people think that might show up at the event. I would love it if it did. I am just ecstatic to hear what this thing is going to do and what it's going to look like and how modular it is actually going to be. I think there's been a lot of people that's been waiting for something like this, myself included. And God forbid, Apple, please bring a screen back. They've talked about it. It's been rumored that Apple's working on another display. I miss having an Apple display for sale. I miss having one. I have nothing against LG. I really like LG. LG makes some great appliances. I've actually, in the past, done some work for LG. Full disclosure, I like their phones. They're a decent company. They have the potential to innovate, but they don't do what they could. And that bothers me, especially in the mobile space. LG has some top talent in the design department. They have really talented people in their marketing team, but they don't let them go and just run. It's this self-destructive thing that they have going on. I have no idea. It bothers me because there's so much potential there, and I love their products, but they seem to just kind of hold themselves back, and they're very, very withdrawn and kind of controlled. And I would love it if they would just let their designers go and have a field day with some of their mobile designs, and because, you know, their appliances are top notch, and some of their other electronics beyond their mobile division are really well designed, and some of their phones are well designed, but they can go just so much further if they had free reign. So, you know, just a side rant. Hey, LG, I love you guys. But there's some potential there. There's some opportunity for improvement. Back to WWDC. So Apple bringing out their own display would be awesome. Again, I really hope they do. And on another side note, and I've said this before, I said this about Microsoft, I said this about Google, I really want to be surprised by something. I want to see something that hasn't been leaked, hasn't been talked about, hasn't been rumored. I mean, I know there was this rumor for this kind of like this GPS tag thing that Apple could be working on that would, you know, I guess hook to your keys or whatever, just like the little tags you can buy now, the Bluetooth tags that you can buy now. But Honestly, that's great and it's cool, and I really hope they bring, you know, something out like that. But I want to see something that's just unexpected. I don't know, preview some augmented reality goggles, some glasses, something. You know, I want to be surprised. You know, we're all expecting and anticipating the Mac Pro. We're expecting it to be modular, which I really hope it is. I hope it's something that's, you know, that you can take apart, put more part, you know, put new graphics cards in, stuff like that, increase the hard drive space, whatever. The name, the cheese grater design that we had for so long, it's still beautiful. I mean, if you look at that design, it's still a beautiful design. It's just extremely large. It doesn't have to be that big. It doesn't have to be that bulky, but it does have to be that cleanly designed. It has to be beautiful. It has to be functional, and it has to do what pros need it to do. It has to be able to be expanded and used for a time period. So let's hope that they do bring something like that out. I am also very, very interested to see iOS 13, not just for dark mode, but I want to see, and I think the rumors are that we're going to get some home screen improvements on iPad, but maybe not on iPhone. You know, new features in the notes, new features in this, and the ability to, you know, do different types of like markups on the screen. I saw some kind of tools around that for the pencil on the iPad Pro. But that being said, if they're only going to do those enhancements on the iPad, Pro or the iPad and make those home screen adjustments there, even if there's going to be a home screen adjustment. I've saw lots of mock-ups, but I haven't saw anything official, so we'll find out tomorrow. And I'm really excited about this because I want to see something different from iOS 13. I want it to grow up a little bit. Like I said before, I'm really getting a little long in the tooth for the cartoonish designs. I really want to see something a little more mature. That invitation that Apple sent out last year to WWDC, the one that had the translucent 3D kind of graphics all over it, something along those lines, you know, as far as not necessarily just the translucent white, but just the solid 3D shapes, the depth, the shadows, the whole nine yards. If they could implement some of that into the OS, just make it a little more mature, a little more realistic. And God, I hate using the word skeuomorphic. I've heard that word so many times over the years. You know, you can take that too far, but I really would like to see some more real world textures and some depth in the operating system, something that makes it look a little better, more mature. But again, that's just me. That's what I like. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. I'm really excited about that. I want to see what new features iOS 13 brings. I want to see what they do with macOS, of course. This Marzipan thing, to see how just exactly how much they're going to integrate iOS 13 into, or iOS apps into OS 10 apps, or the ability to run iOS apps on OS 10. Also, rumor is that iTunes may be going away. You know, I hate to say this, but it's really about time. I mean, iTunes has been around forever. It needs to be broken up a little bit. I think there needs to be dedicated, you know, just the dedicated music app, the dedicated syncing software for Mac, so that you can kind of, you know, sync your iOS devices to the Mac and back up things. But as far as iOS as this overarching thing that it has been and trying to serve so many purposes, it's really becoming a little bit redundant. I mean, not as many people use it. It's really bulky. It's a little bit of a power hog program. So it's not 100% necessary. It could be streamlined, but it would be better, probably, you know, just my opinion, to break it into its necessary parts and create individual apps for the things that it does. Would be cleaner, easier to use. And, you know, going back again to the UI, if there is a home screen update for the iPhone, like there may be one for the iPad, a way to hide some of those icons, you know, from your main view, kind of like and say like the springboard, like Google uses, something like that. But I'm sure Apple would implement something like that very elegantly. It would be nice. I really like to have more visual cues on the main screen. I like to have, you know, active widgets, something that's, you know, telling me something, like kind of like the complications on the watch would be really cool to have something on the main screen of my iPhone. And that brings me to one last thing I want to mention about iOS and the iPhone. I know that the new iPhones are not due out until September, and we won't hear a lot about them. And there will be features in iOS 13 that probably won't be active until the new iPhones come out. So one of the things that I would really like to see, and I've mentioned this before, is pencil support on the iPhone. Now, before anybody wants to, you know, jump all over me and say, oh, what would you use that for? That's just silly, or anything like that. You'd never use it. I actually would. I think that the screen on the larger iPhone is perfectly big enough to use the pencil on. It's, you know, it's great for note taking, for quick sketches, for doodling. It would be great. Now, a smaller pencil would be nice. You know, maybe one that would magnetically attach to the side of the iPhone. Maybe color match to the iPhone. You know, hint hint, that would be awesome. I don't know that they're working on that. I don't know anything that they're working on, but I do want that to be something they're working on. I think that would be a great feature to have. I think it's something that a lot of people would love to have, and a lot of the tech press would just shoot it down and go that it's a useless feature. But you know what? Not everyone is the tech press. Some of us have, you know, been out there selling the tech for a long time, and we like these features. I like some of these, you know, some things that other people call gimmicky. I like some of those features. I use some of those features. And I've always used a stylus on my phones, way back in the Windows Mobile days, way back in the Palm days, as a matter of fact. So I would love to have pencil support on the iPhone itself, and hopefully eventually we'll get that. So I'm just going to wrap right up here and say that I will be watching tomorrow. It'll be, I think, 1 o'clock my time. I'm on the East Coast, so I'll be watching WWDC or listening to it in, or streaming it or listening to a live blog. Any way that I can possibly consume it, I will be there. And then I'll probably watch it again before the end of the night, because I just do that. And I will be forming opinions and talking about the new stuff that's announced at on a later podcast. So with that being said, if you have any feedback for me, please feel free. You can contact me through the podcast app. I am everywhere podcasts are consumed now, I believe, even on iTunes. Thank goodness. Thank you guys so much for all of your support. Thank you for listening. And this has been the Bobby Weitz Podcast, episode 12. Good night, all.